1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." You see, there are some things that are unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Unto His coming. Amen. There are some things that precede His coming. "Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it." Now, it calls God the God of peace. I particularly like that. That He's not the God of disaster, the God of worry, the God of dilemma, the God of fear. In a lot of religion, the religion that I'm familiar with, because I come from strong religious background, you never knew what God was up to or what He might do. He couldn't be trusted. He was moody, it seems. Sometimes up, sometimes down. Sometimes He blessed you, and sometimes He would knock your head right off your shoulders. That's what I thought. I mean, I could have gotten the wrong impression from what they said, but that's what I thought they said. I was so relieved to find out He's the God of peace. He wants in my life that peace that passes all understanding. Now, that's a peace beyond comparison. A peace beyond understanding means there is no way to compare that peace to anything natural that you would understand it. I mean, it's so far beyond understanding that you don't know what it is. That's the kind of God He is. I mean, what I'm telling you is God can just zone you out. You know, you've talked to people that are zoned out, not mentally alert, I'm talking about. And sometimes my son, because he's so far beyond me, he's a computer expert, and he explains to me everything that's happened at the office, and I really don't have the foggiest idea what we're talking about. I mean, I don't even know where the on and off switch is. We have a part-time office, a secretary, a wonderful computer husband, a computer son, and I don't do anything with the computer. They'll holler at me every now and then, "Mom," I said, "Oh, call your daddy at the office." They don't get past the mom because I'm not an expert. I don't know anything. And when Joel's talking to me, explaining things to me, I'm kind of zoned out. You know, it's kind of like, really? But I'm just putting, that's just punctuation I've learned. It's not that it was punctuated by the Holy Ghost. I'm just being cooperative and being a nice person. Just basically, I'm a nice person. And he says, "Mom, repeat to me what I just said." I can't do it. I don't know what he said. You know, if I read the Word of God and I don't know what he said, if I don't have a heartfelt understanding of what he said, then I can never be successful. And here is the God of the universe who comes to dwell on the inside of me, who wants me to be successful. He used his word like more than conquerors. Always triumphed. Victory. Those are great Bible, Holy Ghost words. That's the promise of God. But I have to hear from heaven. I have to follow heaven's voice in order to have the victory that's promised. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Well, faith always has understanding. It always has a grasp of the facts. Well, in my natural mind, lean on the scripture says in Proverbs not to trust your mind. In my natural mind, I can't grasp the facts. I just can't figure it out. Does it make any sense to you that a God who was when there was nothing, sent His Son to earth, and then took Him back, and His death was significant for the world, to grasp that with the mind makes no sense at all. That's why when you explain that to a sinner, they look so blank at you. That's making sense to them. Because it's understood with the heart. Well, who's in the heart to bring understanding? Holy Ghost is in there, you see. Now, I'm spirit, soul, and body, and there isn't anything more foundational, more significant than understanding that I'm a spirit being. I'm a spirit being, and I'm to lean and trust on the spirit being that's been redeemed, that's been born again, where the Holy Ghost lives. He doesn't live in my mind. And I'm a spirit. It says I'm spirit, soul, and body. The soul is the mind, the will, and emotions. We used to sing, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul." That's not even true. Soul's not saved. Now, it is being saved. It is being renewed. It is being restored as I have understanding of the Word. And the reason I have understanding of the Word is I want some understanding. I want that. Desire, you see. Almost desperation. You know, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Well, knowledge comes with heartfelt desire, and knowledge comes from the Holy Ghost in the human spirit. And I am not soul, I am spirit. The soul was given to the spirit for use. It is through my soul, which is my mind, will, and emotions, that my spirit functions in the world. What I have in spirit pours forth through my soul and into the world. And my body's supposed to be crucified, so it's supposed to be out of the action altogether. You know, the body always says, oh, well, I felt like it. Or sometimes it says, well, I didn't feel like it. And the soul always says, now let's think this through. Let's be reasonable here. I love it when people come to talk to you with their list of pros and cons. I'm basically not against pros and cons, but I've found that they're usually from the soul, from the mind, the ability to figure out and reason. Now, as I said this morning, I want to repeat it so you'd get it. God's not reasonable. You go through the scripture. He's going to talk to Moses. So he decides to set a bush on fire but not burn it down. That's dumb. Send an ambassador. And now what we do? Send an ambassador. Someone who's eloquent of speech. And say, now Moses, my people need a leader. No, God says, let's burn this bush. And then turn out the fire and the bush is still standing. Illogical. That's why I can't lean on my soul. Because my soul is logical. It's reasonable. It figures things out. It has pros and cons. I don't know how many times God has instructed us to do something particularly illogical. I always want to say, are you real sure, God? But down on the inside, see, you are what?
Spirit.
What are you?
Spirit.
What are you?
Spirit.
Spirit. I'm a spirit. And everything I do in life successfully, I do from the spirit. And anytime I try to move with my mind, my ability to figure out, or my ability to feel and sense, I'm probably going to miss the plan, the purpose of Almighty God. And I'm only going to live 70, and if by reason of strength, 80 years, and then I step into eternity. And having lived 70 years and missed the plan and purpose of God would be a tragedy. Especially when He's in here. When He's available. You know, sometimes you need somebody or you think you do, they're just not available. And you think, well, you call several times, you leave several messages, you drive by their house, you know, desperation sets in, you think, I've got to talk to her. I've got to talk to her. And they're just not available. I've had people hunt me when I was out of town. And I'm out of town, I'm not available. Just can't find me, I'm not available. You know that never happens with the Holy Ghost. Never, never, never. He's here. He's available. He's on the inside. He's in the what? He's in the what? He's in the spirit. He's in the belly. It's all right. You can talk to me. I'm basically a teacher. And you know what teachers do? They teach. He's in the spirit. Now it says the very God of peace. That's what He wants for your spirit. But you can't have peace doing your own thing. You ever done your own thing? I know sometimes you have an unction in the spirit not to say something. I mean, you feel constrained. Now, don't say that. Don't say that. And so for 5 minutes, you maintain. You restrain and maintain. You think, I'm not going to say that to you. I mean, you just know it wouldn't be wisdom. Maybe it's the truth, but it's not wisdom at this point to say that to you. So you're restrained. How long do we last? 3 to 5? And then you say what it was that you had this magnificent unction, see, Holy Ghost in here, not to say. And the minute you say it, you know what happens? You think, oh. You can tell by their eyes. Should never have said that. And the reason you weren't successful is you overrode the unction, you overrode the word of the Lord, you overrode what the Spirit was doing, and you let your soul take control. And the soul is the mind, and the mind always has its own ideas and own concepts. Now the scripture says about the mind, it says to restore or to renew or to save. Now the scripture does not say many different things. It says the same things many different ways. And when the psalmist said, He restoreth my soul, is the same thing that James said, by unction of the Spirit, He saves the soul. It's identical to what Paul said when he said, renew your mind. In other words, I'm to put so much word in my heart and in my mind that when God speaks and my spirit says, now that was God, my mind says, and I agree. My mind instantly recognizes the plan, the thoughts of God. I agree. Now, you are what?
Here.
What are you?
Here.
And where is God?
Here.
In the Spirit. Now look at John chapter 3. The work of God is done in the Spirit. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. He had figured out some things. And to figure out, which is probably poor terminology, we have to have revelation. Now, he didn't have the Holy Ghost, so he was disadvantaged. He's not born again. Jesus has not yet died. He doesn't have the Holy Ghost. He doesn't have anything in the belly to teach him all things. Holy Ghost is in there for what purpose? To teach. For what purpose? Why is he in there? He's in there to teach all things. Well, Nicodemus doesn't have the Holy Ghost on the inside. So he's disadvantaged. But in spite of that, as a rabbi, he would have been a student of the Word. He had figured out some things. And he said, we know you're a teacher come from God. And we know no man can do these miracles except God be with him. You know, that was right. The thing he didn't know, hadn't figured out, was it wasn't that God was with him. He was God. Now, Jesus began to tell Nicodemus how to understand spiritual things. And he said in verse 3, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see. The word is see, or perceive, or understand the kingdom. Why do you have to be born again to understand the kingdom? Because you have to be born again to have the Holy Ghost, the teacher, on the inside. Now, do we want victory or do we want to fail? Do you want to be up or down, in or out? Out front or behind? I want to be out front. I want to have victory. I don't necessarily have to lead the parade, but I sure do want to be in it. I want victory. I want to conquer. Well, here's Nicodemus, and he said, Nicodemus, if you're not born again, you'll never see, you'll never understand. And then he tells him, verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter. Now he's talking to him about enter the kingdom. Why? Because once you enter the kingdom, you can have understanding. Whew. That's what I like about praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues. You know, as I said this morning, you come to me, and some people do, you know, would you pray for my sister's uncle's cousin's son in Texas, in prison, and he's guilty. I don't know exactly how to pray. See, I believe guilty people need to be in prison. That's the law of the land. Now, I know repentant people are pardoned, seeing God's hand extended. I'm so glad about that. But if I don't have divine unction, if I don't have understanding, I'm not going to know what to do, how to pray. I can pray in English if your knee, you know, you break your leg. I can pray in English. I can lay my hand on your leg and say, now, Father, mend all these bones in Jesus' name. Reconstruct all these muscles. Do it with great speed. I'm not hesitant to say, do it with great speed. You know, if the sinner has a cold for 7 days and the Christian has a cold for 7 days, we haven't conquered anything. If a sinner has a 7-day cold, yours ought to last 3. And then one day, it ought to come and go an hour. Because he conquered for us, and he lives on the inside. And if I communicate with him, he who's on the inside says, he quickens my mortal body. You remember 1 Thessalonians 5:23, he's going to preserve us blameless, spirit, soul, and body. Now, my father-in-law is a farmer. He's 86. He doesn't do much farming anymore, but I learned a little bit about, I didn't know anything about farming. I'm from city streets. But Wayne was raised on a farm. And when they plant seed, they plant it, what I'd say, deliberately, intentionally, on purpose. They plant it in season. They watch over it very, very carefully because they want the plant and the fruit of that plant. Now you take a farmer who is born again. He's cooperating with heaven. He's not restricted to the laws of nature. He's cooperating with the laws of nature. In that seed has to be watered, it has to be fertilized, it has to be properly tended to. If we watched in our section of the country where the freeze would come, the bad weather would come, and the orange groves would be destroyed because of the freeze, and the fruit would fall off the tree, and it would no longer be viable, it would no longer be productive, no longer could make orange juice or sectionized citrus out of it. And we watched Christians, I knew one gentleman, who watched over his. Now he watered that seed, those trees, and he trimmed them and he fertilized them. He did the natural things. But then he stood with the power of God, see. And all around, every grove died for miles but his. just as green as grass. But see, he knew more than the laws of nature, more than what's reasonable, more than what's logical. He knew the Spirit. He knew the will of God. He knew how to cooperate with heaven. He knew the plan of God. I'm supposed to succeed here. The orange grove dies. It's going to interfere with his success, with his victory, with his financial accomplishments. It's not God for your grove to die. If it kills, steals, and destroys, it's not God. It's the thief who kills, steals, and destroys. So if I'm going to hear from heaven, I'm going to be successful, I'm going to have to put my bucket down into the well. That's what he said to Nicodemus. If you want to understand this, you better get born again. Why? Because then you got the Holy Ghost. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You are what?
Spirit.
What are you?
Spirit.
Where's the Holy Ghost? It's in the Spirit. Here's a wonderful verse, verse 14, chapter 2. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are what? The things of God are spiritually discerned. That means they're discerned or understood by the human spirit in coordination, cooperation, in union with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit given me the understanding, given me the revelation, given me the perception. Now, revelation's no good if it's not followed by action. I mean, there are going to be people in hell who knew Jesus died on the cross, who knew they were sinners, but their lack of action is going to send them to hell, and yet they had knowledge. See, knowledge is only the beginning point. I have to know, I have to understand. Faith always knows, always understands, always sees, always perceives. That's why I stay in the Spirit until I do know, until I do see. I'm waiting on the Holy Ghost. I'm letting Him know it's my desire to see, it's my desire to understand, it's my desire. Now, you understand desire because you like to eat, right? I have relatives who are heavy into chocolate. I saw a t-shirt I started to buy for a precious relative that said, "Give me chocolate or you die." And you've seen that desire, you know. About 10 o'clock at night, every now and then I get a desire for chocolate mint ice cream. Think, oh. And so I try to transfer my desire to Wayne, see. And I say, "Do you want any ice cream?" Well, he's an ice cream person. And he'll say, "Yeah, dip me a bowl." And I say, "We don't have any." He said, "Would you mind going down to the store and getting ice cream?" 10 o'clock, he's never interested. So you have to think of, okay, what bribe would work here? Well, if you have a strong desire, you see, you keep working at it. You keep saying, "Chocolate mint. Chocolate mint. Chocolate mint." Now, a lot of us don't know anymore. We know all we desire to know. We've read all the scripture we care to read. We've prayed all we want to pray. You know what I do? I say, "God, do you see this puny, feeble, weak desire I have?" You know, if you get hungry, you get to thinking about your favorite food, your favorite restaurant that's clear across town. I don't know about your town, but across our town, from side to side, would take you about 40 minutes because it's a long and narrow city. Rather than a short, fat one, you know. So if you start north of town and you think about steak, that's way south. And here I am way north, and I think, steak. Well, if my desire, see, I think, only take 30, 40 minutes to get there from here. But if I have a weak desire, my desire says, "That's 30 minutes away. We can't do that." So the way to grow and the way to know and the way to see is to want to see. I'm never concerned about ignorance. Never. 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 If I talk to them and I see they want to know. Because that's where it begins. With desire. Now, you know why God died for you? Why He sent Jesus to die for you? Such an interesting thing. He says, I am He that blotted out thy transgressions for my own sake. He didn't primarily do it because you needed it done. He didn't do it because you couldn't do it and he had to. He said he did it for his own sake. For his own sake. To see his children floundering, flipping and flapping like a fish out of water. Broke his heart. You know you've done that with your children. They didn't deserve it. They didn't earn it. They didn't obey. They'll ask for the tennis shoes. You know the tennis shoes they want, the ones that are $159? That are basically like the $39 pair. And you say, we're not going to do that. You can wear these. And then you see all their little friends lined up there and everybody's got the latest $159 tennis shoes. And you think, oh, my poor baby. And you can't stand it. Now the poor baby's forgotten it. He's got his $39 tennis shoes. You said that's the way it was. He's happy as a lark. But it's you that's suffering. If you're a parent, you understand that. You think, and at Christmas time, they'll ask for, Joel always was asking for something beyond our financial grasp. From the time he was really little, he wanted a bicycle. He didn't want one of those, you know, that you just go buy. He wanted one that you buy part by part. He'd gone through all the magazines and studied because that's the kind of mind he has. He had every part lined up, the brakes from this people and the, you know, the chain from this man. He had the man downtown that puts all those together, orders all those pieces for you, puts it all together. And his heart was set. You talk about desire. I mean, he kept hinting at me. And I kept looking at that figure. The man, he'd gone down there. We'd taken him down there. You know, children are persistent. $600 and something. I mean, we're talking a little bicycle. I'm not talking about one we're going to win the Olympics with. I'm talking about a little bicycle. We don't even have a hard road. We live in dirt. It wasn't the kind of bicycle you could even ride in the dirt. And he had his heart set. See, he had strong desire. And I kept looking at that total. And I said, all right, Joel, I'll pay for half. Now, I'm telling you, that's as far as my faith would go. I couldn't go another dime on my faith. That was it. So he went to my daddy. You know about grandparents. And he said, granddaddy. Showed granddaddy. Well, my daddy said, well, son, you need to come mow the lawn. How much do you think you'd get paid for mowing the lawn? I said to my daddy, daddy, if you ever want your lawn mowed, please call me. I'll mow. I can mow. I thought, but you see, it's all related to desire, hunger, a heart that had to have that bicycle. He did the same thing with a camera. He's a little bitty kid with a $500 camera. I'm not talking about today. I'm talking 510 years ago. He wanted that. He said, but mother, I can hear his little voice yet, but mother, I really didn't think he needed a $500 camera. But you know why I did that? It was his face. That little face that kept saying, that's really what I want. I did that for my sake. I didn't do it for him. I did it for me. That's what God said. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. He did it for his own sake. He had such great love for you. That's why when I read his word, I sense his love for me. And I say, Father, Father, teach me. And then I reach down into the Spirit where the teacher lives. He's the one that's going to bring the Spirit of wisdom. He's the one that's going to bring revelation. The Spirit of God, I don't know if this is a hot flash for you, but the Spirit of God's the only one that knows God, that can tell you what God is saying and doing. You can look 1,000 miles, you can talk to 1,000 people, but if they don't know the Spirit of God, they do not know what God is saying. And the only way you'll ever know, and thank God he's here, he's available. He's right on the inside, and everywhere I go, he goes. And you can be surrounded by, you know, sinners on every side, go to some function, you know, we have to function. I love those. Go to some function and they're all whining and dining. Last year I got out of it. Just want you to know, the Lord moved on my behalf. I didn't have to go. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. But you can be surrounded by all of those evil and perverse things. And he's here. He's here. And you stick out like a sore thumb. And you ought to and you're supposed to. Christians are not ordinary. They're not routine. They're not obnoxious. You write that down. They are not obnoxious. But they kind of stick out. One fella told me at a reception, they offered me a drink. I said, no, thank you. I don't go to those things unless protocol and priority requires. You can forget it. I've only been to half a dozen in my life. That was half a dozen too many. And they offered me a drink. I said, no, thank you. And they offered me a Coke, and I said, no, thank you. Now, the reason I didn't drink a Coke, because I didn't want them to think, you know, they wouldn't know what I'm drinking. I didn't drink a glass of water. I don't want anybody there to think that I'm drinking. Say, well, I drink. Well, you ought to consider not doing it. So I'm just idling my motor. And one man came up and said, did they offer you a drink? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, are they bringing it? I said, no, sir, I didn't need a drink. Thank you. And he said, are you a Baptist? See, we just kind of stick out. Me and the Holy Ghost there in the middle of evil. You know, the Holy Ghost's not nearly as offended as sometimes we are, because he's out to draw them in, to reach them in. He's out to speak a word in due season. He's hunting the channel. Somebody. I went to my class reunion, the only one I ever went to. Every time they send me a notice now, I throw that in the garbage. And this precious fellow's dancing with his wife, and he kept spilling his drink. And I'm sitting. We found this fellow in my class that was actually born again. I snooped around to see who's not drinking. That's the first thing I do, because maybe they're born again, see? So I found this guy, he's not drinking. So I asked him what he'd been doing, talked to him a few minutes, found out he is indeed born again. So Wayne and I sat right there by him. All right, found him. Well, this fellow's dancing with his wife. He's sloshing a drink. Now, you'd think I party all the time. I just want you to write that down. I've only been to 5 or 6 of these occasions in 52 years because protocol required it. And he said, would you hold my martini? Well, without thinking, you know, because I'm a nice person, I'm standing there with the martini. Suddenly I realized I'm standing there with the martini. Well, as soon as he came back, I said, here's your drink. He wasn't ready for it, but I handed it to him. I'm ready to get rid of it. I thought, this is not right. Me standing there with a martini. And he said, do you know what happened to me last year? I said, no, I don't. He said, now how can I say this? I'm supposed to say this a particular way. And seeing my spirit began working. He said, I'm supposed to say this a particular way. The only people that say thing a particular way are Pentecostals. See, instantly I'm on alert now. I said, how are you supposed to say it? He said, well, let me think a minute. How'd they tell me? I can't. And he said something. He said, no, that's not right. That's not right. And I said, did you by chance go to church last year? Yeah, he said. Pentecostal church? He said, yeah, and I never can remember what I'm supposed to say. Well, see, the reason, because the Holy Ghost is in me. You begin to sense there's something in this man, something he's been dealing with, some move, and you begin to move in closer, see? Because you know the Spirit leads you to people. And the minute he said, I'm supposed to say this a particular way, the Holy Ghost on the inside said, pay attention, Becky, pay attention, pay attention. And it dawned on me, must have been to a Pentecostal church. That's the only people I know that have to say things a particular way. But it's because I'm a spirit, and I function in the world as a spirit. And anything I do successfully, it's because I'm listening to my spirit. Now look at John 14. The natural man, it says, understand not the thing of the Spirit of God. I mean, he doesn't know. You needn't ask him. He can't figure it out. Without God, nobody can figure it out. John 14 is a very familiar verse. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, that's verse 26. Now, you remember I told you the Scripture doesn't say a lot of different things. It says many things a different way. It doesn't matter if it says the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, Holy Ghost. It's the same person. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send. Who sent him?
Father.
Who sent him?
Father.
That's why I'm not hesitant to talk about him. My Father sent him. In the natural, if you had something your Father sent you, even if you didn't want it, wrong size, wrong color, wrong style, you'd guard it preciously because your Father sent it. Well, it says the Father sent the Holy Ghost, so I'm not hesitant to speak about him, talk about him. My Father sent him. And my father said, this is necessary, Becky. This is necessary. This is necessary. It's expedient, the King James says. It means it's necessary. It's absolutely essential to my success, essential to my existence, essential if I'm going to conquer, if I'm going to walk with God, if I'm going to influence my world and live successfully, I've got to be in touch with the Holy Ghost that the Father sent. That's why it says the Father sent him in my name. He'll teach you all things. Doesn't say he'll teach you some things, a few things. It says all. Now that's all the things that you need to know, that you have a desire to know, that you hunger to know, that you reach out by the Spirit. It all begins with, do you want to know? You know, if I don't want to know, if I get up in the morning, I do every now and then, I just don't want to read my Bible, don't want to pray. I mean, has it ever happened to you? Or are y'all all fully sanctified? I mean, I just get up and I think, well, I'm not reading. I think I'll pray a minute, and after I pray a minute, I think, okay, I'm finished with that. And I think, well, maybe I should listen to a tape. 3 minutes into some tape, I think, I can't even concentrate. And I just turn it off, and you know what I really want to do is to go antiquing or do something, you know, not illegal or immoral, but I just want to cool it somewhere. Well, I'm ashamed of myself. Are you ashamed of yourself ever? I am. I'm just ashamed of myself. And I say, now, Lord, you see, you should get up and you should say, this is my Bible. This is my Bible. This is my... I got dozens of Bibles. The reason I do is because I write in them. I heard one man say he just read the cover. It used to say Holy Bible on the cover. He just looked at the cover and said, Holy Bible. And he said he had a Holy Ghost flash reading the words on the cover. And most of us, we don't. You see, the Holy Ghost who lives where? Where is he? Where is he? Is he in your mind? He's going to take this precious word and explain it to you because you want to know. Because you want to know. Now, people that want to know just in the natural will drive you bonkers. I mean, they want to know something about you, you know. How have you been? Well, how's your son? Well, how's Wanda? Well, did she come? You know, they want to know. They're digging for information. They're hinting. We are not nosy Pentecostals, are we? Now, it says Holy Ghost will teach us all things. That doesn't mean he's going to tell you what I've been doing. That's none of your business. And you needn't ask him. He ain't going to tell you. But if you have a desire to know anything that will help you, that will enable you, that will teach you, that will inform you, that will propel you forward, that will put you on top, that will put you out front, that will cause you to be successful, that will cause you to be a conqueror, or anything that you can say to me confidentially to help me, he will tell you that. But it's as I get in this precious word and I read it. You know, I read along. There's a lot I don't understand. You know, it's a very big book. My goodness. One time they asked me to teach Old Testament survey. I thought, give me a break. Old Testaments. They want to teach Genesis to Job. I love to teach Job. I love Job. Just love Job. Genesis to Job. Well, you get to reading along and you think, oh, that's King so-and-so. That's King so-and-so. That's King so-and-so. No, this is King. This is Queen. What's her name? This was Israel. No, that was Israel and Judah. No, this was... It's a big book. There's a lot of people down there. There's a lot of action. I kept at it. I thought, read that again. I thought, well, I'll just pick out important passages. I'll just teach what looks important, like Deuteronomy 28, you know, those that I'm familiar with, that I know. I'd come and I'd say, now, Holy Ghost, help me to help them. Help me to see. Help me to perceive. Help me to understand. Help me to remember. See, he not only teaches you, but he remembers. Whew. I'm so glad I'm not in charge of remembering. You know, our problem is with our mind, we take charge when we are not in charge. See, Holy Ghost in here. Well, it was amazing. I had a wonderful time. I read every word from Genesis to Job, every single word. I had all of those kings lined up. Couldn't do it today, and I don't even ask. I had all those kings lined up. I knew the two tribes, the 10 tribes, the dividing line, the war, the great war, you know. I knew a lot more than David and Goliath. That's basically what I knew when I started, you know, the stories they would tell us in Sunday school. But I had to be diligent. Is that an awful word? Diligent. And somebody, they tried to discourage, you can't read all of that. Just teach the highlights. But I'm a very thorough person. And I said, now, Holy Ghost, see, where is he? Where is he? He's in the spirit, not in the mind. Now, with my mind, I will never get it. That's quite obvious. Even if I were brilliant, which I'm not, I couldn't get it. I can't figure God out. He does weird things. He chooses a shepherd boy to lead a nation, a kid, to be king. And then he keeps Saul on the throne for years and years and years while the real king is running around the country with a band of 400 ruffians. Is that making sense to you? See, God is... I like the person said, God's God. I just like that. And he's in here. And if I'm going to know him, if I'm going to move with him, if I'm going to function successfully, if he's going to teach me, I reach down into the spirit and I say, now, Holy Ghost, teach me, bring to my remembrance. Now look at John 16. You know verse 13, when he, the Spirit of truth is the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, is come. He will guide you into how much truth? Some truth? All truth that you desire to know, all truth that you need to know. When you reach out to the Holy Ghost, you say, I need the truth. I need the truth. I need the truth here. You know, I expect him to tell me. It may not tell me today. It may not be tomorrow. I've held passages of Scripture before God for years. Every time I'd read it, I'd say, what's that mean? I don't understand what that means. And one day I'm reading along. We use the expression in the South, it dawns on you. I mean, you just read along and suddenly you think, you just see it. You just suddenly know. See, all of that time, your desire, you're reaching out to him, you're telling him, I need to know this. I want to know this. I need to understand this. And you're holding it in the realm of the Spirit. All of that time, he can't tell you that because you don't know these four things. That's usually the way it is with me. He told you that, you wouldn't get it because you don't know all these four things. And so all of these years, all of these weeks or months or days, he's bringing all this revelation to you, step at a time, till he can get you to the point he can hit you with that thing that you've asked for, that you need to know. Step by step, Scripture says, precept upon precept, line upon line. He heard your prayer. See, he sees that I really want to know. And sometimes I have to say, God, I don't want to know, but I ought to want to know. I don't want to read, but I should want to read. I don't want to pray, but I ought to want to pray. You might as well be honest with God. You ain't fooling him. And say, Holy Ghost, help me. So why don't you say, Jesus, help me? Well, you can say, Jesus, help me if you want to, but Jesus is going to turn to the Holy Ghost and say, helper. Because the Holy Ghost is the helper. He's the one sent from heaven to help. So why don't you say, God, help me? You can say, God, help me if you want to, but you know what God's going to do? He's going to turn right to the Holy Ghost and say, help him. Because that's the one he sent to help. Now he says, he'll guide you into truth, show you things to come. Let's see what time it is. A number of years ago, show you things to come. Now that doesn't only mean he'll explain end time events to you. He will give us. He's given us more revelation these days than we've ever had. It's a wonderful thing to see that he's coming. The king's coming. I mean, he's coming. That's why it's so important to learn the Holy Ghost and to function in the Holy Ghost, to hear his voice, to know who he is. Well, if I don't have a strong desire, I just say, God, I don't want to, but help me. You know why most of us didn't pray an hour? We didn't want to. You didn't want to. That's why you didn't. Well, shame on you. I'm ashamed of me. I say, oh, I didn't want to, God, but help me. Well, a number of years ago, my brother was out of town in school, and just on a Thursday or Friday, I just had a thought about him. You know, I didn't pay attention. I just thought, I wonder what he's doing. And then later that evening, I thought, I wonder what Philip's doing. Maybe I'll call him. And I thought, nah, he's never at home. He goes to school all day, works all night, you know. Well, the next day I got up, and first thought when I got up was, you know, I'm a little slow sometimes. Thank God he's patient. Wonder what Philip's doing. So, anybody heard from Philip? No. Maybe I should call him. Well, I let it ride all day Friday. Got up Saturday, and my mind, my heart said, wonder what Philip's doing. And then it dawned on me. And see, I'm beginning to check now with Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost, what is Philip doing? What is he doing? And I instantly knew he's going to die. I knew it. He's going to die. Well, you know, the Lord doesn't tell you that so that you can ride out storm. He tells you that so you can stop storm. He knows. He brings things to your remembrance. He shows you. He showed me that event, yet future. I began to pray. I mean, I prayed up a storm. I didn't feel like I was getting very far in prayer. I prayed Saturday. I prayed some Sunday. Monday morning, I called in a prayer partner. Thank God for prayer partners. And they tried. They said to me, you know, that means he's going to die to self. Now, there's no such thing, but that's a spiritual or religious terminology that was, you know, tooted a while. You don't die to self. Self is what? Spirit. And what spirit's supposed to do? It's not supposed to die. It's supposed to grow. It's supposed to know. It's supposed to perceive. It's supposed to understand. Well, I called in my prayer partner, and we prayed. And we prayed, and we prayed. And about noon Monday, I knew I got it. I got it. How'd you know that? I didn't have any inside information. I hadn't talked to anybody. I hadn't talked to Philip. I don't know anything except on the inside. The same Holy Ghost that was on the inside that said, I wonder what Philip's doing. Said that for days before I caught on. I thought, I wonder what he's doing. Holy Ghost, what's he doing? And the minute I said that, I know he's going to die. Well, by noon, I know he's not going to die. Well, I don't know what it is, but we've stopped it. We've stopped it. We've stopped it. I knew it. Amen. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. So I didn't say anything to anybody. You know, if you want God to work with you, you need to learn to keep your mouth shut. Amen. Doesn't talk to blabbermouths. He just doesn't. I never said a word to anybody. Tuesday morning, my mama called and she said, well, I got something important to tell you. I said, all right. See, I'm ready because I know he's not dead. I know that. He may be almost dead, nearly dead, but he's not dead and he's not going to die. I mean, I know that. I know that because Holy Ghost is in here and I know him. And he directed me. He showed me this event yet future. He not only teaches me the word, he teaches me what's happening in life. He's my eyes. He's my vision. And he looked right out there and said, Becky, you see that? And I said, see what, Holy Ghost? See what? And I began to follow the line that he was looking. And there I could see my brother is going to die. Well, he was hit at a four-way stop sign. He actually had the right of way. He was not guilty. It wouldn't matter if you are or you're not. You know, if you live and you don't die, then you pay the fine and do whatever and go on with life. But he was not guilty. He was trapped in his car. The car was so mangled they couldn't get him out for a long time. But when they got him out, guess what? Not a bruise on him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to tell you, you're going to miss some things if you don't know the Holy Ghost. Now, you know what you do? You say, Holy Ghost, I don't know you like I should. But I want to. I want to. I want to. And he begins to make himself real to you. He begins to teach you step at a time. Precept at a time. Because God wants your success. And your success is bound in the Word and the Spirit. And without the Word and the Spirit, you will fail miserably in life. But the good news is, this is your Bible. You have it. You have a copy. You're not overseas where you only have a page. And you have to wait for somebody to bring you the next page. Nobody has to. They used to secret Bibles in China with pregnant women. They would line her belly with Bibles, little bitty Bibles, and send her into China underground with Bibles. You just go down and get you a copy. Get you a Living, get you American Standard, get as many as you want, as many as you like. You have your own copy. And you have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Truth on the inside. Where is He? Where is He? In the Spirit. And all you got to do is reach down in the Spirit and say, What does that mean? That's what it means. It says, I have the mind of the Lord. I have the mind of the Lord. I do. I, Becky Cumby, from Auburndale, Florida. And on the inside of this human vessel is God the Holy Ghost. In me. In me. Well, when I honor the Holy Ghost, I honor God because God sent him. Some people don't understand that. But if I sent my daughter on an errand, I didn't go personally, and I sent Suzanne, and you were rude and unkind to her, I'd be offended. When you honor her because I sent her, it makes me so excited that you say, Suzanne, I'm so glad you came. I'm sorry your mother couldn't come, but I'm glad you came. Come on in. Can I get you anything to drink? And when you honor her because I sent her, you've honored me. And when you dishonor her, you've dishonored me. And if I dishonor the Holy Ghost, you see, I've dishonored my Father. Because he sent him. Spirit and the Word's good, isn't it? It's just so good. See, this that you sense. Now, sometimes the Holy Ghost is very loud. He's not always quiet. And I'm very loud a lot. I mean, a lot of the time I am very loud. But today, he's come. He's been very quiet. See, that quiet is him. It's him. He's here. Now would be a really good time to talk to him about your desire, about your Bible, your copy. And let me give you a hint, ladies. You can't make your husband spiritual. I just feel throwing that out at somebody. Get off his back. You know what you do? God gets him out on the playing field to play football. And you say, did you read your word today? Did you pray today? And he'll retreat. Next thing you know, he's not playing anymore. He's back in the stands. I pushed Wayne until he wasn't even in the stands. He got in his car and went home. That's just a hint somebody needs to hear it. It may not be your husband. Don't push. Go to the Holy Ghost and say, Holy Spirit, work in Mama today. Holy Spirit, bring her revelation. Let her hear what you say. Holy Spirit, it's Mama and me walking with thee. Let us see. Holy Spirit, deal with Mama today. That'll work a lot better than you nagging him. We thank you, Father. Your word is a lamp unto our feet, light unto our path. For each of these that have had ears to hear, Father, bring back to them all week long the passage of Scripture, the word of the Lord that they need to hear. You're the one who causes us to remember, and there are things been said that they need to remember, and I'm asking you to fulfill your word, and I know you will. I ask it with great confidence, with great assurance, that they'll hear in their heart that sentence, that scripture, that phrase that penetrates their life, that helps them, that aids them, that puts them over. They will not be able to forget, Father, what you've said today. They'll not be able to forget it. We say it with our faith. Just like you kept after me about Philip, there's something you want to say to them. Just say it all week, Father, over and over. Now I want you to say with me, I hear and I obey. I hear and I obey. I do hear. I am listening. And I will obey. If I don't obey, what I've heard will not profit me. Knowledge practiced brings results. We thank you, Father.